Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are
I'm
you?
doing very well, thank you. Appreciate you making a little time with us here.
My pleasure.
Very personal question here to begin with, but how are your hips doing?
Much better, thank you. One of them is going to be 2 years old in January, and the other one just turned one in July. So they're still. So it was amazing how long it takes for nerves to heal, but the joints themselves are feeling much better.
So you're like the bionic man now.
I've got some fantastic hips.
Well,
I've got the maximum number of hips you can have replaced.
that's fantastic. That's good. All new parts. Good for another 100,000 miles, I hope. Boy, I don't know what it says, but I think it's a good thing about the new album, Twilight Override, that 30 songs in, when I got to the end, I thought, oh, is that it? Am I done? I want more. That was great.
Well, that's very, very, very nice to hear. Thank you.
You worked on the album at the Loft. You had your sons there, Spencer and Sammy. How was the recording process?
I mean, delightful, but it's like what I do all the time. I'm at the studio almost every day when I'm home, and kids have has, come by more and more over the years. And so I think the one difference for this record compared to the other solo records is we actually did book schedule time for the whole band that we've been taking out and playing our my solo records with to come in and kind of track live in the studio. So, it's a really spread out process given the amount of Wilco touring. And I think there were it's a two like a Wilco album and a Wilco EP in the middle of recording this one. So
I listen to albums the old-fashioned way, as if I had vinyl. I start at track one, I go to the end. And maybe I'm making too much out of it, but it felt like the element of time may be factored in the sequencing. That side one sure feels like you're looking back, and by disc three, we're looking ahead. Am I off on that?
I don't know. Actually, that's exactly what I think the guiding principle was for the sequence. I don't think any of those three concepts is particularly immune from being infiltrated or having the one of the other of the two types of temporal understanding leak into your day.
Yeah,
Or your mind.
time is a curious thing. The older we get here, I read an
It's
interview where
curiouser and curiouser.
I read where you said that Wilco gets first crack at everything. But are there some songs that, as you write them, you kind of tuck them away and say, "Yeah, this is best suited to me."
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you certainly don't want people to think that these are all the songs that Wilco rejected, And this record, maybe more than any of the other solo records, is a lot of this material was written for these voices specifically. I wanted to sing these songs with my kids and with Macy and Seema and Liam.
We're talking with Jeff Tweedy of the new album Twilight Override, and Jeff will be at the State Theater in Portland, October 16th at 7:30. I always feel like you're a working man's songwriter. You write like our friend Stephen King writes books. That there's discipline there. There's a sense of doing the job. That's every bit as important as finding a muse.
I think it's personally, I think it's the only way you really find a muse is
Through the work, yeah.
just stand in their way every once in a while. So yeah, I just like think it's about a good way to at the very least it's a good strategy for me to cope, and that's so I enjoy doing it. But if you do tend to accumulate a lot of material, and I don't find that to be problematic.
Right away, I mean, I love the whole album, but Caught Up in the Past just grabbed me as it often does. You know, you get older, there is that tendency to look over your shoulder. How do we avoid that? How do you avoid that as an artist, not being caught up in the past?
Well, I think for a long time, I think if I've looked at it as like one of my main jobs is to stay inspired and stay interested and curious about, you know, what I do, and also striving to get better at what I do. I like feeling like I've made progress, like as an instrumentalist, as a poet, as a writer, as a singer. And those are all areas of different things that I want to make progress in. And so, but the keeping myself inspired is the main goal. And I think I do that the same way I did it before I ever picked up a guitar. And that's other people's art and other people's records and books. And, you know, just, I don't know, that along with spending time walking around in the woods, which I think is really good for you.
Parking Lot jumped right out at me on first listen, and I've gone back and listened to it several times since. Mesmerizing spoken word performance and just the concept of these other versions of ourself out there.
Yeah. They're all trying to reassert themselves at different, you know, I think I'm from a smaller town. It's not like the smallest town, but it's a small town in Southern Illinois. And there's some provincial attitudes and some things that are ingrained in me that I recognize all the time. Like, oh, that's Belleville Jeff, you know, like just bristling at certain things, or, you know, I just think that it's better for me to acknowledge that that's in there than to either let them have free reign or to deny it and pretend that I don't have this background.
And does it make you look back and think, well, what was the turning point? What might have happened where I could have gone that way instead of where I am now?
Well, to be clear, I'm not like making any kind of value judgment on like one life versus another. I actually, that song to me and that poem was more about kind of recognizing that the core part of who I am probably would have found another thing, and this is for passion, you know. It's just because I was lucky to be born with an ability to be passionate about something and obsess about something, and it could have easily been cars, you know, working on cars or something like that, but it's meant to be, that song is meant to be just sort of a championing of the idea of finding a thing and how lucky you are when you do. And like when I want to teach the world to sing anything, that's basically what I'm trying to say, I hope.
I love it because I work with high school kids and you know, say to them all the time, money's great, it's nice to have it, but you're going to work a long time, find something you love doing, whatever it is, and don't let somebody else force you into a little box you might not be comfortable with.
Right. And also, like, I think you're duty bound to find some, maintain some gratitude for being one of the few people on earth. If you get to do what you want to do and make a living at it, I think that is, not to be squandered or taken for granted. I think it's really a really rare thing in the history of the world that a person gets to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of people living with drudgery and getting up every day, not excited, not inspired by what they're doing. So yeah, if you have something that feeds that passion, you are among the lucky ones here.
And again, if you are in a situation like that, and I think that it's inevitable that you probably couldn't have a working society without people doing jobs that nobody wants to do. But even in that context, I think that I really hope for that person that they have some thing that takes them out of that and puts them in squarely inside of themselves and their own imaginations and their own enjoyment and satisfaction at having found something that occupies their mind.
Yeah. By the way, I love the harmonies on New Orleans. Is that your son's taking care of that?
That's all the voices. It's everybody. Nice. That's Macy Seema, Spencer Sammy, and Liam, and myself. That's the core emotional context of the record, I think, is when I've toured these are all people I've known since they were little kids, obviously my children, but I've known all of them since they were very young. And you know, a few years ago, or now almost 10 years ago, we started kind of taking this group of people out to play my solo records. And we'd always end up singing these songs and coming up with vocal arrangements for songs that didn't have vocal arrangements like that on the record. And so that was the starting point for this record. It's like, I wanted to write material that would start there as opposed to coming home from tour and thinking, wow, that was better than what I recorded.
Lou Reed is my babysitter, first single released from the album. It's a blast. It's a great groove. What's the story behind it?
That's a true pandemic song. I think that's like written during the pandemic, just being a little wistful about going out to see bands and recognizing that the things that I hated about being crammed into a club, seeing a band, are things I missed, you know? So that's basically a laundry list of things that would happen that would be annoying, but seems sort of sublime when they're being withheld.
It's funny. We talked with Roseanne Cash about that, and she admits tired of the road, doesn't enjoy it. And yet when she didn't have that option available to her during COVID, she realized that there was something magical about that connection. And you know, while you may not do as many dates, being out there, having that instant feedback from the audience, you can't replicate that in a studio.
No. And I'm not a computer scientist, but I think we're probably, however far we are away from an AI, complete AI takeover, I feel like that would be one of the last things that would be on the agenda, you know, and the hardest to replicate. And that is the feeling of being with a group of people singing together and experiencing something like a rock concert or, you know, sports. I don't think you're going to replace that. And like, hopefully the congregations that are uplifting and people that go to church and things like that. But I think humans need that. Humans absolutely need a communal experience I don't know, connection. I've grown to appreciate it more since the pandemic than I ever have. And I was already kind of a convert, but I do think that it's something, is in short supply for a lot of people, and not good at building that kind of community, sometimes in a lot of cases. And when we travel in Wilco, I travel doing solo shows, I'm, you know, in some small way, I really love that I'm facilitating that to some degree, there's a like-minded purpose for coming to this one place on this one given night and experiencing something together.
You've said creativity eats darkness. I love that. Mm-hmm. Is it the act of creativity and the vulnerability that gives you? Does that make you more available to people? And is it that that binds us together?
Well, I think that when I said that, I was, you know, maybe more concerned with my own consciousness, you know, mm-hmm. and like a lot of things, my starting point is very simple. And that is, I feel like if it works for me doing it in a way that is visible to somebody else makes it maybe possible that it helps them. You know, if I present a strategy to the world that you should bother and it's like worth your time to make something and it actually has benefited me probably most before it actually reaches anybody. And that is because when I'm spending time with my imagination intentionally, all of the other little cages that people willingly put themselves in are open. And I don't, I'm not like scrolling on my phone, feeling anger and feeling fear and feeling things that are being, my thoughts are being controlled by a diabolical device. Learning, relearning over and over and over again that I can think clearly, I can imagine, I can think what I want to think without it being dictated by an algorithm, all those things. I think it's more and more essential for people to do that on a daily basis to remind themselves that they can make something out of nothing. We possess this incredible brain, pattern seeking brain that if you work at it with a certain process, you will learn things about yourself. You will make yourself a soul that is worth a lot, I think.
I feel like there are a lot of songs about loss, fear of losing, and I think that comes at such an appropriate time when it feels like so much is at stake in this nation right now that we could lose. And are those losses as powerful as losing someone close to you?
It is like losing someone close to you. It's like losing, when you lose an idea of the country that you live in as being like an awakening to the idea that it maybe isn't the country that you thought you were participating in. That is like losing a certain amount of someone close to you. It's losing some of you. Restructuring your brain to accept or to not accept that as a reality, I think it's essential to think about, and it's essential to put it in context. It's essential to demand of yourself some bravery and some kind of understanding that a lot of the world has been here before. A lot of the world has seen things slip away. A lot of our fellow citizens have lived in a country that has not treated them well. So the hand-wringing about it being something new always feels, I don't know. I feel like it's a little misguided because I think that it's like really not what we're, that's not what we're going for. I don't want to reclaim another, a different imagined past. I want to make a clear vision for myself of what the past really was and what it can be, and still decide for myself what I think is valuable about this thing that we've, this mythology even that we've embraced. And I think you need that. I do think you need some mythology about what a beautiful America, America with justice, America with real equality and things like that. I don't think that that's nothing. I don't think it's not I don't think it's not worth preserving, at least, at the very least, intellectually and internally and as aspirational. I know I'm talking about hope. I think that it's worth, if you can maintain some hope, I think that it's your job.
I love it. New album is great, Twilight Override. State Theater, October 16th at 7:30. Jeff, great to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time today.
My pleasure. Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye now.